Welcome to today's episode of Backstage with Randy Phillips. I am Randy Phillips, and I love you. Thank you for listening. I'm excited about this new year. Happy New Year to you and your family. Joe Catina, wow, this is an episode that's going to touch your heart. Joe and his family, the Catinas, have been part of my life for decades. I am an honorary member of the Catina family. I look just like them. That's funny. Their journey with music, family, and ministry, like all stories, have highs and lows. But the wisdom he'll share with you today is so valuable, it's going to touch your heart. You'll hear the vulnerability in his voice as he talks about the power of forgiveness and speaking life into your loved ones. You're going to love this authentic conversation. Let's go. Well, you're watching Backstage with Randy Phillips. I am Randy Phillips, and I am joined by the incomparable Joe Catina.
Who wanted to be Joe Phillips? How you doing, Pastor?
I wanted to be a Catina. It's just like my goal in life to be a Catina.
Well, it's an honor to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
I love you, and I love your family. There are 12 brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Eight. Can you name them all first name?
Absolutely. Ewa, David, Sam, Junior, Joe, John, James, Jesse, Motunga, Mira, Tiva, Daniel.
Impressive. I can't remember my own daughters.
Garland and Lily Pearl.
That's
there
right.
There you go, brother.
You did good. I told one of them one time, hey, I can't remember your name, but I know where you live. I will find you. You all Samoans.
Samoans.
Were you born there or were you born in America?
So we were born in America. Our parents are full, what we would say was Samoan.
Okay, Samoan.
Samoan, full. Both of them are both from Samoa. Our dad, he moved to America to he enlisted in the Marines, United States Marines.
Yes.
A lot of times the military provides opportunities, better opportunities for people on our island. So he met my mom in California. They got married, and then we were born here. But then after our dad retired from the military, he felt called to go back to Samoa and help his people with music or in the church. And then we all moved.
So you moved to Samoa?
We moved to Samoa.
Okay.
Said it well.
I'm trying. Texas, so
we
hard.
Moved to Samoa. We were all just young little boys.
What do you remember about it?
Man, I remember the humidity.
Yes.
The no warm water, no hot water. I remember the first day we got there, we woke up to take showers. You know, and here in America, you just take things for granted. Where's the hot water? And my dad's like, oh, there's no hot water here. And sometimes the plumbing would just stop. This was back in the late 70s when we first moved. And we'd have to wait for it to rain to fill buckets to take showers. So I remember that. I remember pigs in the yard, chickens in the yard. No McDonald's. Now it's changed since then, but we had some first world problems back then.
So your dad started a church.
Yes.
And you were the band.
Yes.
Kids.
Yes.
He had the band.
We were free.
You were free? Well, not entirely, but okay. Had to feed you, I guess.
Actually, what happened was when we were little, so my dad, he was a choir director and, you know, he played the pump organ. That's what we had. And so he would teach, none of us were teenagers at the time, he would teach like teenagers of the church to play, and our church was real small. And then those teenagers he would teach would get better, and then the bigger churches would ask him to come there, and they'd all leave. Wow. So my mom finally said, honey, you need to teach one of your sons, because they ain't leaving.
They're not leaving.
And so he taught Sam, and one thing led to another, and we became the band.
Man, your musicality is so incredible, your harmonies. What was it like working for your dad?
What was it like working for your dad?
That's a whole nother podcast. We don't have enough time.
You know, I guess when you're a kid, you don't know any different. And man, my dad, again, I joke about it now, but him being a retired Marine, and then culturally, you know, Samoan men are very authoritative. Mm-hmm. So it just was whatever he said, we did, you know, and he, when I watch movies like the Jackson 5 and I see Joe Jackson,
that's your dad.
I was like, that's my dad
That's right.
And of course, again, I think we wanted to play sports. We wanted to do what all the other kids were doing. And he's like, nope, you can't, because you have to play. You're the band. And back then, and as you know, growing up, we didn't just go to church on Sunday.
Mm-mm.
We went to church 7 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
So there was always music to be played and new songs to be learned. And again, it was, you don't know any different till we moved here and we were away from our dad. We were like, man, that was a hard life.
It was. How, as a father, how many children do you have?
Two sons.
How have you seen what your father modeled and said to yourself, there's a different way, there's a better way? How would you contrast like his style to your style as a father?
Yeah. It's a great question. I think that was the challenge of being a dad for me, because here's the things I knew is I knew without a shadow of a doubt that my dad loved God. I knew that he loved me. He didn't know how to say it. And I know that I wanted to hear it, but then I thought, well, do people need to hear that? Like, I was wondering, well, maybe I'm the one that's weak.
Right.
Maybe I'm the one. Well, then I became a father, and I think God putting other men in our lives that came along and encouraged us. And you were one of those that just, when people would encourage us and compliment us, we were like, wow, that's not only coming from another man, that's coming from another man who knows good music. So I think of a man named Denny Duran.
Denny. Oh, I love Denny.
When people ask me, when you grow up, who would you like to be? That's one of the guys.
Not me.
Well, you're first, Randy, and then Denny. But I think I've tried to tell my sons two things every day. I love you and I'm proud of you.
Oh, man.
No, I've still, and we talk about it now. My son Josh is 25, Eli's 22, and there's some things that they tell me about, we discuss about their childhood and that I'm ashamed of. I'm like, man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't know I did that. And they're like, no, Dad, you did.
Mm.
However, I do know one thing, that they heard this every day. I love you. I'm proud of you.
Oh, that's beautiful. If we just said that, if we said those two things to the people we love, you know, even Jesus needed to hear that when he was baptized, coming into his ministry. He heard the voice say, that's my boy. And I'm so proud of him.
And whom I'm well pleased.
If Jesus needed to hear it.
Exactly. I agree.
Oh, man. Was there a dark time in the relationship with your father that you just like, this is as dark as it gets? You don't have to answer that.
No, I want to. It was when my mom passed away. So again, you know, you're a kid, you're growing up in this family. I want to make sure I don't generalize this. This is my experience.
Yeah.
We grew up in a church. We grew up hearing about this God who loved us, this God who was kind. And but we didn't really hear much about God's grace, because it was all about holiness,
yes,
righteousness, do the right thing. And now at 52, I understand that is part of who God is.
Sure.
But in our growing up, you couldn't mess up. You couldn't not line up with the problem. If you did, you wanted to make sure that Dad didn't find out. So what produces that?
Yeah.
Deceit.
Yes.
You know, a lot of living in darkness. So Mom passed away, and we always thought we were a close family. But when Mom passed away, we realized, man, our family is one of the most dysfunctional families. Like they say, toe up from the flow up was our family. Because I didn't realize that my mom was the glue.
Mm.
Anything we know about love, goodness, and kindness. At that point in our lives, we learned from our mom.
Oh.
So now she's gone. And dad, you know, he's still being the same father that he was without the counterbalance of my mom's love and grace. And now we are, dad moves back to Samoa. We're here and we're just living with this spirit of, maybe we didn't say it, but it was like, man, we don't want a relationship with you. You're unhealthy. You're abusive. And, you know, I was only 18 at the time, so I couldn't put a lot of words to it, but I did know that I don't want to have anything to do with my dad. That was the darkest time. And then, again, if I don't know if I said it, dad is a retired Marine. So, you know, PTSD there, that word wasn't around back when he got out.
Right.
So I remember it was the late '80s. He called us. He said, "Hey man, pray that the military is telling me that I need to leave the church," which, as you can relate to, for my dad, leaving the church was like turning his back on God.
Yes.
He said, "The military wants me to go to this 8-week program in Hawaii for something called PTSD. Pray that I get out of it." We all hung up the phone. We all put on the phone. "Lord, send that man to that
send
thing.
Send him." And keep him a while.
And so he ended up going. And over he could call us once a week. And we would all get together when we would have home phones back in the day. Yeah. I remember the 8th week he called us and he said, "Hey, can you all get together at Sam's house? I need to talk to y'all." So, sure, dad. And again, we're still afraid of our dad.
Yeah.
You know, our relationship was really a relationship that was born out of fear.
Yeah.
And so I remember the day we get into Sam's bonus room, put him on speakerphone, and my dad calls us and he's just weeping.
Oh.
And he says, "Sons," he names us one by one, Sam, Joe, James, John, Jesse. He said, "After this last 8 weeks, I realized the only reason why you're still sane and that you still somewhat love God is because of God's mercy and the prayers of your mother."
Mm.
And then he said these words, "I'm so proud of you." And I was 18, first time I heard my dad say that. And he just repeated it. Mm. And it was like floods of gushing water washing my soul.
Ugh.
I remember that day, and he said, "I've never told you, I didn't know how to, but I'm so proud of you."
Yeah.
And then he said these words, "Please forgive me."
Oh.
And I think because my dad said that to me that day, he made a way for me to say that so much more easily to my sons. Because I know, dude, I'm full of it.
Oh, man.
So when I mess up, it's easier for me to say, "Josh, Eli, dude, I'm so sorry. Forgive me."
What would you say to someone listening, watching this as we go kind of backstage into your life? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No.
What would you say to someone that's in the middle of a very toxic parent relationship with them? How would you help their heart?
Mm. I want to, you know, there was a reason why my dad was the way he was. And that's not an excuse to just say, "Oh man, you know," but I really think that all of us, that's why we are in need of a savior.
Mm.
We are in need of the work of Jesus. And when he said, "I've begun a work in you and I'm faithful to complete it," give God an opportunity, sir, or mom, to work in your heart, to work in your life. Because again, you may have been abused. You may have been abandoned like our dad was. You may have been, words of death have been spoken over you that you've been fighting all your life. But the great news is this: Jesus is more powerful.
Yes, he is.
His grace is more sufficient than your biggest hurt. And so I would encourage you to open up your heart to his forgiving power. And then to be able to humble yourself. I would say this to women, boys and girls listening to this, that, hey, relationships are rough. They're tough because we all have our story. But we also all have access to a redeeming Jesus.
Yes.
Who he doesn't come. Your family won't be perfect. Ours is not perfect. But even in our brokenness,
yeah,
even in our pain, the healing of Jesus and his love and his grace, is, if it's possible for the Katinas, I promise you, it's possible for you.
You're a trophy to the grace of God.
Mm.
Who is your favorite male trio all over the age of 60 in contemporary Christian music?
Well, I don't know if they're over the age of 60, but Phillips, Craig, and Dean, by far.
They're definitely
over. They're definitely over?
Yeah.
Now they just went up even more.
Yeah.
I do want to say, you guys, I remember when did we first meet?
When I was a little bitty
boy. Back in the day. How long ago? 20 years? I don't know.
Was it Gaither stuff? Or yeah.
Gaither stuff when we were all in Carmen's entourage.
Oh, yeah, Carmen. We just following him around.
No, you guys, Phillips, Craig, and Dean has been an inspiration. I don't remember where I was, but I remember when I heard the song,
a crib.
Mercy Came Running. And stuff like songs like that reminded me of my own story. Even as a younger,
oh, that's great.
Then I just thought, so props to you guys for
thank you
producing it, excellence, and continuing to do it as long as you guys have.
Well, thank you.
Anytime people ask us, how long y'all going to do it? We're like, PCD still doing it. We got some time.
Energizer Bunny, baby. Just keep on going. Yeah. Now, when I listen to you, as I did, when you were here in Austin, it just blows my mind, your harmonies. But I hear so much of the emotional music that was the soundtrack of my life in your music.
Man.
No matter what your lyrics are. And I love that they pointed on Jesus. But the Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Those octaves.
Yes.
That high one and the low one.
Yes.
Is that true?
Man, that's the highest compliment you can give us.
Oh, man.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. I think if we told you that, again, my dad being the dad he was, we couldn't listen to mainstream music. If it wasn't, spiritual or quote-unquote Christian, we couldn't listen to it growing up. So back in the day when they had the vinyls, Jimmy Swaggart.
Jimmy.
B.J. Thomas, Dallas Home, Andre Crouch, obviously.
Andre.
So we had a stereo, a record player. Remember those old ones where you can open up and you stored all the vinyls on this side?
Yeah.
My dad, he didn't know that in the covers was Earth, Wind, and Fire, Hall & Oates, Chicago. And so he wouldn't pull the vinyls out. He would just look at good.
Yeah,
and then he would leave.
Yeah,
we'd break them out, play September.
Do you remember?
Do you remember?
So what other influences, Earth, Wind, and Fire was a big one.
Yeah.
That I hear when I hear your music.
Thank you.
Who else?
I mean, we listen. Well, Andre Crouch, though.
Yeah,
we actually enjoyed listening to Andre.
I know.
The Jacksons.
Oh,
you know,
definitely.
Jacksons. Any band, because we were a band, we just like to listen to groups. So Chicago.
Yeah.
Do you remember Tower of Power?
Oh, do I ever?
Yeah, Tower of Power.
Oh, my Lord.
That's
the funkiest?
Yes. If you were a band and you had harmonies, the Katinas were listening to you.
Oh, yeah. Man. Okay, so let's just say you're in heaven and you can sing with anybody. Anybody. That was your. Now, I don't know if all of your influences are going to make it, but let's just say they do.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have
gosh.
Just like one group, like we want to sing with them? Oof. Who would that be?
Man, that's a tough one.
You can do it.
That's a tough one. There's so many.
I know it.
Who is it?
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be, I don't know if you made it, but
yeah,
Michael.
I was going to say Michael. I didn't know if you would do it. Michael, was the, it's interesting when I talk about Michael, my kids say,
Dad, I know.
Well, how was he so influential on you? I said, I don't know.
He changed music. Just changed it.
And just his story to me, and I know it's not popular to be a fan of Michael Jackson, especially now and after he died and things that have come out that I'm hoping are not true, Still, it would be Michael.
But you see yourself a little bit in his raising, your raising, that same...
Absolutely. And again, I want to say, though, too, that all of it wasn't bad, right?
No.
I mean, the discipline...
No, it's not all bad.
The the honing in on your craft. Yeah. I mean, we still rehearse today. And I think people wonder, like, why do y'all, you just been singing for 30 years. Why? Well, you got to get better. Because if you ain't getting better, you need to go do something else.
Yeah. So it would be Earth, Wind & Fire or Michael?
Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah.
Hall & Oates, you know, if they make it.
I don't know. We're going to have to figure out if the Lord.
God is probably.
Help them, Lord.
God might be saying, those guys are here. You don't pray, you make it.
Okay, so. So there's five of you, five brothers on the road forever.
Yeah.
I've seen 30, you
over 30 years.
Who's the first to the lobby? Lobby call. Who's first down there? The one that's on time or early?
Jesse.
Jesse's the youngest.
I know. Jesse, he would be the most, he would be on time the most.
All right. Who's the last to get there? Brings up the caboose.
Me or Sam.
Because they're all the oldest.
The oldest.
Well, it takes you a while.
It takes us a while. The other day, my son was over and I had just gotten up from sleep and I'm walking and he's like, did you sprain your ankle? I said, no, I'm 52. It takes me a while.
Listen, just wait, my friend. I sure do love you guys. I love your spirit. What is your hope for Christian music as you see it evolving? I mean, we rode the coattails of so many trendsetters. And, man, we were just blessed to just kind of draft off of other people's greatness.
Yeah.
What are you seeing today? Are you hopeful for where music is going?
I'm hopeful. And I'll be honest, I'm an old soul, so I don't listen to a lot of new Christian music. But the other day, I got in my wife's car and she was listening to K-Love or something. And all the newer stuff was coming on. And I was like, man, this is good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. The quality, the lyrics.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. And just because of what we do, you know, most of my time when I'm at home by myself, I'll say, Alexa, play, you know, praise and worship radio. Mm-hmm. And the new stuff that's coming out, I enjoy it. Maverick City, Elevation, all that. I love it. I am hopeful.
Yeah, it seems like a little bit of throwback to some of our growing up roots. And
they're playing more chords than just four.
Yeah, just more four. More. And it's got a little gospel to it.
It is.
Which I love.
I love it.
Yeah. Do you guys are going to continue indefinitely, just like us, as long as somebody show up to hear you.
I agree. Yes. You know,
why stop and do what?
Wow. I'll tell you, when COVID hit, Pastor, you know, before COVID, so up until 2019, we were still doing about 100 shows a year.
How many?
That's what we do, about 100.
Oh.
So COVID hit. I remember in March of 2020, from March to April, 70 of our shows got canceled that
month. We were one of them.
Yeah. And again, nobody knew what was going to happen. And I don't have a college degree. I started filling out applications online. Mm. And my wife said, what are you doing? I said, well, I need to work. She said, you need to do what you've been telling people for the last 30 years. What is that? You need to pray and fast. I'm like, wife, okay.
Get behind me, woman.
Anyways, that year we ended up doing 40 shows.
Really?
And somehow still God's grace.
Well, you know what? You did a digital worship for us and we sent you an offering. Yeah,
you did. Generous. And we started doing that online worship for a lot of churches.
Yeah,
yours didn't need it, but there was a lot of churches they didn't have.
I know.
They didn't know how to do this online.
That was so cool.
So over the last 2 years, we have an online gathering now every Thursday and Saturday. That's growing, and last year we did 70 concerts, and that felt better than 100. Mm-hmm. So as we get older, we're trying to get more closer to 50, maybe.
Yep.
And hopefully the online gathering will continue to grow.
Good.
But this is what we're called to do. What else are we going to do?
It's what we do.
Do you listen to country music?
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard the song Doing This?
No. Who is that?
We're going to listen to it after this.
Who is it?
Luke Combs.
Okay.
And the basis of the song.
I'm still stuck, you know,
he said this. Oh, you got to hear it. He said, I was running at working out and that song came on and I just started crying. He basically said, people asked me in an interview, where'd I grow up? When, you know, if I wasn't doing this, what would I be doing?
Oh, that's good.
I'll save the rest for you to listen to.
All right, I'm going to listen to it. Right. The living in the tension between what you're called to do on the road, calling of God, and then what you're called to do as a parent and as a husband. And there is great tension there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found, and I've asked this question to many artists like you that sat there, when you're out doing what you know you're called to do, you feel this tension of, I need to be home.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're home doing what you're called to do, you feel this tension. I need to be out there singing and leading people in worship.
Mm-hmm.
Have you lived in that tension before?
My whole life.
Yeah.
And I think this, you know, hopefully becoming older and a little bit mature, I think one thing I'm trying to do is just be more in the moment.
Yeah.
That's hard for... I don't know if it's hard for, I think for men, for providers.
Yes.
For, we're all wired certain ways, but it's really like, I'm always like, all right, like all week we've been prepared to come here.
Yep.
And it's, so my hope, my goal is to try to be here. Don't worry about next week.
Yeah.
Monday is going to be here and then you'll be home.
Yes.
I think that living in the tension is the journey of life.
It is.
Of trying to say, God, man, help me to be here.
The road will, it grinds you up. It wears your soul.
It does.
And I'm so proud of you.
Mm.
Proud of your brothers. I love you guys so much. Mm. And I want to thank you for being here with me today. I think you helped some people.
Mm. Pastor Randy, thank you for loving us, your family. We all watched your mom's celebration of life, and it just triggered so many memories. And, you know, your mom, your family, I mean, you're one of those families where you don't have to see each other a lot, but when you do, that connection is just there. You speak a certain language because of our faith.
Yes.
A lot of similarities.
Yes.
And so it was like watching your mom's service. It was like reliving my mom's over in a good way of like, I know I'm going to see her on the other side.
Yes,
so
will.
Thank you. Thank you and Denise.
Love you.
For loving us, blessing us, opening up Life Austin to us, and for showing us the best barbecue in the world every time I come here.
We're going to try.
We love you.
I
love
you
so
too.
Much.
Bless you. Thank you, Joe Katina. You touched my heart. For more information on the Katinas, visit thekatinas.com. That's thekatinas.com. Or you can find Joe on his socials at Joe Katina. Well, thank you for tuning in. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. We'll see you on the next episode.